The following content may contain elements that are difficult for some. Information presented is not meant to substitute for the advice of a doctor or other medical professional. Please be advised that some topics are intended for mature audiences. Listener and parental discretion is advised.
Gave a lot of my life to the public, but y'all don't really know.
Hey, yo, man, I want you to talk to him like you're supposed to. Come on.
Believer. Building my rain up in the cloud, falling like ashes to the ground. Hoping my feelings, they would drown, but they never did. Ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke open and rained down. It rained down like. You're the face of the future, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh. But they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke up when it rained down like.
I want to stop. We can't.
Believer, 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 believer,
welcome to Inspiration with E. This is it, baby. We are live right here on Grind Hard Radio. I am your host, Erica Arthur, and I could not be happier that you are with me. Now, the lines are popping. You guys are making mama feel real, real good. Special, special, special shout out to our guests who are already on the line, who are ready to go. Blessings and much love to everybody tweeting like crazy, blowing social media up. If you have not told a friend yet and you're on this line, I dare you, please, let's encourage as many people as possible. Let's get them in and tuned in with us live so we can help people know that they are not alone. And that is the entire purpose of Inspiration with E. Nothing super deep, although I don't mind treading deep waters. And I can, you know, I can exegete a text, but this is not the time and space for that. And I apologize for the F-bombs, you know, I can do that too, but, you know, this is not the time and space for that. Bottom line, I'm going to share with you whatever inspires me. And so we're just going to love on you real good. If it's been a real rough week, traffic, marriage, trying to lose weight. I'm supposed to be a vegetarian for a month. I forgot and had steak and eggs. At least I said grace, though, right? Yeah, it's going to be that kind of party. We're just going to pretend it's me and you. We're talking, rocking back and forth, me and you. And according to the lines, a lot of y'all tuning in. So I'm not going to keep you long. If you are on the line and you are in crisis, this is a good time to know about opportunities to reach out for help. The National Suicide Hotline is 800-273-TALK. That's 800-273-TALK. Veterans, if you're on the line or if you know a veteran, just press 1 and someone is available 24 hours a day and 7 days a week to give you the help and support that you need. Now, a little bit of housekeeping. Make sure that when you come on the line, because we want to hear from you, that you mute out your background noise as much as possible so it's not a distraction. So let's talk about the music that we heard. We're going to be playing all styles of music here. At the top, we had my girl, you know, got to represent New York, Mary J. Blige with Someone to Love Me. And the second song was Believer by Imagine Dragons. And that third piece that you heard that blessed me real, real good, special shout out to Katora Duncan, Philadelphia indie artist and founder of the God Be Big movement. She's actually going to be showing us some love in the very near future. That album, that piece rather that you heard, is called Walk With Me. If you want to check it out on iTunes right now, it's called I Need You, but going forward, it shall be known as Walk With Me. So we want to show her some love. This show, it is dedicated to a friend of mine. He passed earlier this year, and he used to always tune in on Grind Hard Radio, Radio Divas, to support me. His name is Jay Martin. I'm not going to cry because I'm not a pretty crier. You understand, I buy my eyeliner the same place where you can pay your phone bill. So I'm not going to be crying too much tonight, glory to God. But I wanted to definitely show him some love. Salute, pausing to show you some love. And for that, we say thank you. All right, I'm not going to keep you much longer. We're going to get ready to get our first guest on the line. Now, if you're listening, we're so glad you're here. 323-693-3043, 323-693-3043. But going forward, once I begin to speak with our first guest, if you want to ask questions, just press 1. This way our producer knows that you're on the line and ready to get it in with us. All right, I say we set the atmosphere up real good for her. I say we run, do a little rerunning. Let me hear Kamasi Washington's rerun. Yeah. Up next on Grind Hard Radio. Word.
Thank you.
And we're back. Thank you so much. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspiration with E. I'm Erica Arthur, your host, and we are live right here on Grind Hard Radio. Without further ado, we're going to bring on the line somebody who's extremely, extremely special to me. Her name is Kit O'Malley. Kit O'Malley is a mental health advocate that is living with bipolar disorder. She is a blogger that I had the pleasure of connecting with when I first joined the blogging community. I want you to know something very special about this young lady. Yesterday was her birthday, and even with her birthday, she was making sure that everybody and they mama knew all about the Inspiration with E Show. So I'm going to get her on the line for the sake of time. Again, if you're listening, 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043. And the next voice that you're about to hear right now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet Kit O'Malley.
Kit! Yay, thank you. That was quite an intro.
Girl, did you hear the audience? Did you hear the audience?
I heard the applause.
I'm so happy. First of all, happy birthday to you, beautiful. Thank you so much for all the love that you've shown me. Nothing but blessings.
Thank
you,
E. Thank you,
E. I'm honored.
I'm honored. And thank you for playing the straight ahead jazz. My dad raised me on straight ahead jazz, and I just, whenever I listen to it, which is like basically whenever I go in my phone, in my car, because it's like programmed in my car, unless my son gets in and then he's got to listen to his hip hop. But whenever I'm in there, you know, it's got to be my music.
I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so glad that it spoke to you. Kit, welcome. Welcome. Before I ask you a million questions, tell me what's going on with you and your parents and you just, you know, and your son. Like, you just really, you help out everyone. Tell me what's on your heart today before we even get started.
Well, I'm in a really good place. My sister visited last week, and we visited our parents and went to a care meeting. Our parents both have dementia. My father's had been, you know, progressing over the years. And then my mother, who had been his caretaker, had a stroke. And it was just like, all of a sudden, this woman who was very strong and verbal, and, you know, she had been debate team captain in college. And so her verbal skills were very important to her. She, like, would slay us on word games. Like, nobody could beat her on any kind of word game. But November 2015, she had a stroke and she lost her ability to speak and to communicate. And I mean, it really devastated her brain. It like threw her way back. It wasn't just her speech, but like how do you use a pencil? You know what I mean? Like, what they call vascular dementia. So it took a long time to get them to a place where they're both happy and they're together. And so it was really nice because my sister and I got to see them and they were being taken care of and they were happy and they were together and we're like, we did what we needed to do. So that had been a big journey, you know, for us, a big change in our lives. Go ahead.
No, I apologize. You have the floor. I apologize. You first go ahead.
No, I don't. I'll go on forever. So I don't even know what I was going to say.
Well, and thank you so much for sharing that. One of the things that I learned by reading your blog, and a lot of us, we just learn so much from you, is the importance of transparency. When it comes to people going through and having trials and tribulations, one of the things that I believe that the enemy uses is isolation. When I say the enemy, I'm referring to spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what I'm referring to. You know, things, negative forces, the enemy, devil, call it what you will, but that's what I'm referring to when I use that term. And I believe that isolation is so dangerous. Tell me how important it is to for that people know that they're not alone, Kit.
I think, well, it's interesting because in some ways I isolate myself and in other ways I don't. I've found over the years that I need some physical distance because I get overwhelmed with other people's needs when I'm with people and tend to perform and take care of other people. And it's probably just just my personality characteristic and also the role I played in my family. So I was more, I guess, what you'd call enmeshed with my parents. I came from an alcoholic family where alcoholism was sort of the self-medicating, mental illness that wasn't diagnosed. So that's kind of my thing. So whenever I get even involved in a church community, I'll end up like way overextended volunteering and stuff like that. So I have to be very careful, you know, how much I'm. So actually, social media, I'm going to make a little abrupt transition. Social media has enabled me to be involved, but with some distance. And then I'm involved, I do volunteer work with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And that enables me to, they're very understanding because of what they do, that some people, you know, that I have limits to what I can do and when I can do it. So they're okay with me saying, no, right now I'm symptomatic, maybe later in the year, or, you know, no, there's too much, you know. So, for example, I was supposed to Thursday and Friday do a national provider education panel, but at the beginning of summer I knew it was going to be too much. That's right before my birthday. We're going to have this meeting with my parents. That's just way too much for 1 week. I can't do that much. I'd fall apart. So for me, I have this balance I have to do where I want to be involved in community, and I am. And I actually, in terms of community, in terms of like, because I know you're a woman of faith. I'm a woman of faith, but I don't go to like what we think of as, I kind of go back to what Jesus spoke of, you know, like where one or more of you speak my name, you know, or even I posted something today on social media about, you know, loving one another, then I am there with you. So I don't feel isolated. I feel very much a part of a larger community that's loving and supportive. And I was amazed, actually, when I started blogging, how strong that community is. And at first, like my son would say, you're fake friends, but he's the same way. He's got a lot of friends on gaming, you know, and they're real people. Mm-hmm. He's talking to them in real time. You know what I mean? It's like guy to guy talking. And so now he doesn't do that with me anymore because he knows, no, they're real people. And I've met them in real life at conferences, which are hard for me to do. But I did, you know, a conference, and I've met people, you know, that I first knew online and then met through writers groups or whatever. So there's a real movement of people we don't hear much about, of people reaching out in love and support to one another. Like, we always hear about the hateful things, and we don't ever hear about love people are spreading around.
Wow. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm going to tell you why. One of the things that I find very empowering is knowing your balance. Knowing your parameters. That's the term I wanted to use. I find that very empowering. Learn the power of no. And I'm a person who, I don't know where to put myself when it comes to that. I think I'm just learning now what works for me, or learning how to be more vocal about that. How hard do you find that? Do you think that's something that's more attributed to women, people who have too much on their plate, or just it's a general rule across the board, learning how to say no and knowing that that empowers you?
That's a good question. I mean, I'd hate to say it's woman more, because I can't really speak on behalf of men because I'm a woman, but I do, it does seem like to me that as a woman, as a mother, that my experience of being a mother, and I have a very supportive, loving husband, but my experience of being a mother was that my son was always coming to me. So when I was trying to work outside the house, or when I was trying to go to seminary, or when I was trying to do all these things, I had this, you know, not being able to take care of myself because I was just pulled in so many different directions. And it ended up for me, and this is just for me, because I would never say this is the solution for everybody, because I have bipolar disorder, so I, you know, that limits how much I can do, and I'm a workaholic when I work. So for me, what ended up happening was I reframed it as God made me stop working. God said, no, you've got to go to the hospital. You have to stay home. You have a kid who needs you. I have a high needs kid. He struggled with migraines and depression and anxiety. So he needed me at home, you know, and I needed to slow down. And I remember even my kid when he was really young and we were like going to a church thing one day and Taekwondo another, and, you know, each night of the week we'd have something planned, you know, like so much of the people, I live in South Orange County, and that's kind of like the overachievers, you know, scheduled to the hilt type lifestyle. And he said, and he was like preschool age, and he said, Mom, why do we go do one thing one night and then another thing another night and then another thing and another night? Why don't we just choose one thing? And here he is just in the back seat of the car as we're going to the church. I'm like, you're right. You're totally right.
You know what?
Way overscheduled.
No, I think that's important to talk about, because just not knowing how to say no and having those boundaries and even the day-to-day matters. And I find that sometimes people, you know, like we bite off more than we can chew, which means that we don't know what to say yes to. And so it's the little things. It's like the feather, the proverbial, you know, feather is all that it took to kind of blow things over. And that puts you in a bad space. And it's like, all I did was say good morning. Or don't worry. I know the coffee spilled a little bit on your shirt, but don't panic. But just like, no, you don't understand, that was major for me.
Right.
Yeah. So, Kit, I want to try to get some callers on the line. Our time is going by so fast. Listeners, if you're listening in, 323-693-3043, 323-693-3043. Press 1. If you want to talk to Kit or if you have a question for her. Also, Kit, in the meanwhile, I want you to just tell people how they can find you, find your work, and support you online as much as you take the time to support so many others.
You bet. The best place to find me is on my website, and I have all my links to my social media accounts on my website. And that's Kitt O'Malley, OMALLEY.com. So it's Kit with two T's, O'Malley with no punctuation, .com.
Okay.
And then
excellent.
I have all my Twitter, I'm on everything, all my social media names are Kit O'Malley. So I'm on Facebook, it's Kit O'Malley. I'm on everything, it's Kit O'Malley.
Excellent. And that's Kit with two T's and O'Malley, O-M-A-L-L-E-Y.
Correct.
Excellent.
Well, you know.
Yes, I do. And it's an honor that you're with me. I'm not done with you yet, though. I want to get a call on the line, so I'm going to see what's popping with that. But before we get someone live on the line, if they want to talk with you or have a question, tell me a little bit about you being featured in the book Stigma Fighters. Tell me all about that, please, because that was a major accomplishment.
Well, you know, Sarah Fader and has done a terrific job in with Stigma Fighters, and she, and I'm blanking on the name of the co-editor, her editor. I feel so bad. Anyway, Stigma Fighters created this anthology of different people who are who live with mental illness and their stories. And, you know, Sarah actually came to me and asked, do you have a story to share? And I shared a couple, and she chose which one she thought, you know, would publish better. And it was on, it's on both of her website and in the anthology.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think that was pretty
cool. It was an honor.
And I apologize. Please forgive me. Those who monitor my calls say that with me having so much passion, I may bump into the person speaking. So I do genuinely apologize for that. Tell us a little bit about your work featured on FeminineCollective.com, please.
Okay. Well, there we have Julie Anderson, and has done a great job of getting writing from a whole bunch of wonderful writers. And I was a reader of theirs, and I kept on, you know, like tweeting out their fantastically written stuff at femininecollective.com. And then, you know, Julie said, well, we're just waiting for you to submit something. Of course we'll publish it. So I submitted, I think, a couple of things, not a lot, but a couple of things to them too. I tend to, you know, to put most of my stuff on my website, but I have written a bunch of other places. I don't even remember. I don't keep track, honestly. So bad. But
yeah.
I know Julie and I know Sarah, and I've met both of them in real life, and they both do fabulous work, and I love them both very much.
That is awesome.
And the advocates they work with, too, and the writers they work with are wonderful people.
Excellent, excellent. So we have callers that are on the line. In order for us to actually patch you in, you have to press 1. If your number is, we can't really discern whether or not you have the best of intentions. So if you're trying to actually get on the line with us, that number needs to be unblocked. And you need to be pressing 1. Still waiting on a live caller who has the courage to jump in and talk with us, Kit, because the lines are packed. So thank you so much to all the listeners and those who are tuning in online as well. Kit, what's the word of advice or encouragement you have for someone today who's listening, someone who has not found the power of no, someone who has not yet embraced full transparency in their diagnosis? What's the word of life that you have for someone today?
Well, I think that there's always hope. I reiterate what you said in terms of you're not alone. There are other people out there who have survived what you're going through and who can let you know it is not always as bad as it seems today. You know, there is hope. Treatment does work. It's not magic. It's not like I no longer have bipolar disorder, but I live a full life. I'm married. I've been married for 20 years. I have an adolescent son. He's a wonderful, beautiful kid. I'm blessed. So my life didn't turn out the way I had planned. God had different plans for me. It's interesting because when my mom had her stroke, all the things I had done in my life all of a sudden fit into place. It's like, mm-hmm. That's why I've had this path. Because I drew upon all the different skills that I had learned over my lifetime. That
wow.
I wouldn't have if I had followed my original path that I had planned.
I like the way that you said that, your original path that you had planned. So how do we balance that when life interrupts what we have planned? What are your thoughts on that, Kit?
I think acceptance is a big... Mm-hmm. And it takes work to get to that point. But as you go through what we call mental health recovery and you come mm-hmm. to a place of acceptance, I think that's huge. Because then you take a look at, okay, my path or my journey might not have been what I had planned, maybe, mm-hmm. but there could be that there's a path and a journey that's meant for me, that I have a purpose. And you reframe, and it's a different way of thinking of it. If you're not thinking of it in a spiritual way, is to think of it in a psychological way and reframe your experience. Like, how can I make this meaningful for me? You know, how can I reframe what my past was and make something positive of it?
Mm. Make something positive of that. I hear preachers and motivational speakers, they have a tendency to talk about turning your pain into passion and your passion into purpose. Before you go, Kit, what is the word of advice you have to our many fellow writers and bloggers and poets that are listening and supporting you and I tonight? What is your advice to them when the pen stops flowing because of how bad it hurts?
Oh, I don't know. I know that I sometimes have to take a break. I've read from people who've had blocks, some people have different advice. So I don't know that there's an advice that fits all. But mm-hmm. I do know that when I was a therapist and I worked with adolescent girls, I gave my clients who were kind of pre-verbal or weren't real verbal a blank journal.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
those girls who were more verbal, a journal with lines, and they could do mm-hmm. whatever they wanted with it. That was their, you know, and I, writing and drawing are incredibly therapeutic things. So even if you're not writing like the best you've ever written, you know, you can just sit there and do, you know, a stream of consciousness and just start whatever garbage comes out. And then you'd be amazed. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you know, you go back and you're like, wow, there's something there I can work with. And you just edit and edit and edit until you get something you like. Or you can just do it as a therapeutic exercise and not think of it as I'm a writer or I'm an artist, but just think I'm doing this to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To take care of yourself, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's difficult, easier said than done. Self-care, was that a difficult transition for you where you had to be adamant about protecting your time, or is that something that naturally evolved out of a need, that self-love and self-care that we don't even talk about sometimes, you know?
I think that's an ever-evolving thing for me because I'm still a wife and a mother. Mm-hmm. So it's ever-evolving for me. You know, so, and learning how to say no is an mm-hmm. ever evolving thing because it's not something that comes naturally to me. And when I do sometimes say it because I'm not very good at, you know, I'm not very good, but because I don't have a whole lot of practice, sometimes it's abrupt and I have to go back and I'm saying, you know, I'm sorry, but I tend to take on so much. So that's why I kind of was abrupt with you because mm-hmm. I'm not always graceful at saying no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or explaining why I had to say no.
Yeah, learning how to say no. And I don't want to say no to you right now. I really don't. We can talk all night. I really don't want to hang up, but I got to use wisdom. This time management thing, it's a little
you
bit
bet.
For me.
go on to your other speakers. Go.
If you want to stay with us and listen, you're more than welcome. We'll mute you out. But I just have to say this to you, Kit O'Malley, it has been an honor and it has been a privilege to have you not only here live with me on first of all, I have a radio show. What is that about?
Woo-hoo!
Okay. So for you to actually
Amen.
Be with me here on my season premiere, but I want to publicly say that not only do I admire you, I have learned so much from you. Thank you for being someone that taught me the power of community in our blogging atmosphere and with poetry. And Rob, his original blog is called Wait to Lose 2013. Now he's Friends Without Borders. He was another person that played an integral part. But I want to publicly thank you. Much love. God bless you. Thank you so much, Kit. You have helped to kick this off in an amazing way.
Thank you, Erica. I love you, too. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspiration with E. I'm Erica Arthur, your host. We are live here on Grind Hard Radio. We have some shy people. I don't know if y'all just into eavesdropping or what, but you guys are definitely here. I'm feeling the love. I'm feeling the prayers. I'm feeling the support. We're about to get it in with our next guest in a little bit. And I cannot wait to introduce you to her. But before we do, I want to acknowledge that brother that's also on the flyer, one of my favorite poets that I've had the pleasure of working with. His name is Roger Wise Smith, and his schedule is a little on the crowded side. So he has been touching base with me literally all day about checking in, but I wanted to, out of respect, acknowledge him. We may have to bring him back a little bit later on in the season to show him the proper love that he deserves. I'm going to tell you how you can find out more about him and his work, his business, his book, because he's a fascinating dude and a genius. But before we bring our next guest on, next up we have indie artist and DFW Crew Love co-founder Gino Young with Gladys.
Inspiration with E.
In a world her beauty exceeds beyond her youngest pearl. She's a lady, guilty of killing the girl. She's cure your broken heart.
Oh,
Gladys,
Gladys,
don't fall apart. She remembers being in limbo. Would she dance or give him her?
Your host, and we're live right here on Grind Hard Radio. If you're just tuning in, 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043. You want to press 1 if you want to join the conversation and have a question either for myself or my next guest, Dyshan Washington. Now, let me tell you a little bit something about this pretty little thing right here. The beautiful thing about our connection is I had the blessing of finding out about her movement, her suicide prevention movement called Hold On to Life through Tara Carissa Hodges. If anybody is familiar with that fireball in the Lord, okay. And she tweeted about 2 years ago about suicide prevention, and that's how I learned about her. There's a powerful thing in this social media thing and being able to use it for good. That being said, when I began to serve as a volunteer for Dyshan's vision, Hold On, I promise you I didn't know who she was. I didn't know anything about her. I didn't know how popular she was. And I love that about our connection, because I can genuinely say that it has been pure from the get. But for those of you who don't know about her, she is not only an entrepreneur, not only does she have an incredible testimony,
She is a woman who attempted suicide twice. She was married at 16 years old. She was one of the youngest first ladies of a church that was thriving. And her story is fascinating. So my introduction will do no justice, but I want you to know, both on and off the court, she's the real deal. And I thank God for how hard she goes for me, even when no one is looking. Salute and much respect. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Shan Washington. Doxan, are you with me, baby girl?
I am with you.
Can I just tell you that my audience, they were so excited. There was a delay on them clapping, baby. There was a delay on them clapping, mother. What's good and welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, and congratulations on your new show. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, you know, you have a lot of titles, but my favorite one for you is Dashan. And that's the thing that makes you, I'm trying to tell you, that's the thing that makes you, in my opinion, one of the most powerful people that the world better recognize that God is doing in this hour, a new thing, because you make yourself available to all people. Regardless of what they look like, regardless of what their background is, and just being just Dashan, I have found great weight in your story. Please, for those of us who are just joining us, tell us a little bit more about you.
Wow, you said so much already. I am just, you know, I always tell people I'm just a little country girl living in the city, trying to make my impact on this world. I'm very passionate about everything that I do. Particularly how you and I met with the suicide prevention. Just, you know, my mission and purpose in life is to be an example of God's love and to spread hope, you know, throughout the world. And if I can do that, then anything else I accomplish is just an added bonus. You know, I hate talking about myself and my accolades and all of the things that God has blessed me to achieve and accomplish. And so I'm just a servant of God. I just feel like I'm put here to be his mouthpiece and to be his example. And that pretty much sums me up in a nutshell.
You know what? I think that's dope. Another thing about you that I like is your transparency about being married so young. Please, mm-hmm. Dashan, paint that picture for us.
It was interesting because I was telling this story to someone recently. I knew when I was 14 years old that I was going to get married young because my grandmother came to me and she said, God is going to use you at an early age because you have a lot to do in this earth before you die. And so it was 2 years later that I got married. And, of course, it came with its challenges. I became a first lady at 17 years old. And it wasn't, that I didn't have examples because my grandmother was the first lady and so was my mother. But nobody can prepare you for that role. You just have to live it. You have to walk in those shoes. And mm-hmm. It was a lot of responsibility at that particular age that I did not foresee. However, I was confident that the Lord had directed me to get married at 16 years old. And even now that I'm divorced, people say, well, you know, did God really tell you to do that? Because if he did, would you have gotten a divorce? Well, I believe that God gives us choices. And so I still stand on the fact that God did tell me to do it because my ex-husband and I did a lot of great things in ministry. We've seen thousands of souls come to Christ. But it was very challenging. I had to grow up really fast. And so it started my journey of low self-esteem because, you know, at that age, you can imagine not a lot of people were being, were respectful. But God gave me the grace to get through it. But it was definitely a lot to take on as a teenager, to be a new wife, to be the first lady of a church, to miss your prom, have to go to church while your friends are going to dances and all this kind of stuff, And a lot of people don't know, I dropped out of high school in the 11th grade. And, it was like, okay, God, you're requiring a lot of me. And I simply dropped out because, my husband at that time was, traveling and we were doing ministry. And I felt led to do that as well.
And, you know, of course, I later went on and, you know, got my GED. I went to college. But, you know, there were a lot of sacrifices that I made as a teenager. And so over the years, I think those sacrifices and the pressure of that responsibility played a part in my depression that would eventually come and that would lead to my suicide attempt.
Hmm. One of the things that you say that said that resonates with me is the journey of low self-esteem. That's rich because I think that everyone has a point in their lives where something shifts. We may not necessarily be able to put our finger on it, but how important is it to identify when that journey to low self-esteem began?
Well, I didn't recognize it initially. It wasn't until I was already in the journey. But when I look back on it, I think one of the most crucial mistakes I made was becoming isolated. I should have talked to people. I should have said, listen, I took on a lot. This is heavy for me. Can you help me carry it? Can you help me get through it? But because so many people were waiting in the wings for me to fail, I felt as though there wasn't anyone there who could really understand what I was going through at that age because nobody around me had gone through it at that particular age. The only advice people were giving me was, you know, at this age you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. And, of course, that didn't help the situation. So I isolated myself and, you know, I began to listen to the lies of the enemy, and in which I don't know that the enemy is incapable of telling the truth, so everything he says to us is a lie. But for some reason, we do listen, and so the thoughts of you're not good enough, you're not enough, you know, you're not powerful enough, you're not anointed enough for this, you're not strong enough for that, contributed to the beginning of that journey. And so when I realized it, though, it was already too late, so to speak. I was already smack dab in the middle of it. And but I would say that that was the most crucial mistake that I made, isolating myself.
You know, that's interesting. We touched on that in the earlier segment with Kit. So it's definitely confirmation, I would like to think, about how important it is to have a village, to have a support network. Now, I definitely am a person who had to learn that the hard way, being a, what you call introverted extrovert, where it's, I know for me, it has to do with trust. I can't trust everybody. I'm very, very, very guarded, as talkative as I am. How important is it to find at least someone or some two or some three that you can really trust to talk these things through?
Yeah, it's crucially important. I mean, I would go as far as to say your life depends on it because a lot of times in church we want to over-spiritualize things that are very much connected to the human side of us. You know, everything is not spiritual. Sometimes I don't want to talk to Jesus. Sometimes I don't want to go to the altar. Sometimes I don't want to pray about it. Sometimes I need a hug. Sometimes I need somebody just to cry with me. Sometimes I need somebody to be angry with me and pat me on the back and say, hey, you have every right to feel the way that you feel. And so those people in those times are very crucial because if you just talk to Jesus, I mean, you know, there are some people who will argue with me and say, well, you know, Jesus is enough. Okay, well, maybe that works for you, but that just doesn't work for the average person. And so if we did not need human connection, I don't think that the Lord would enable us to have these sort of connections. So everybody plays a role in our lives. It's just a matter of us determining which role they play. And so as far as having someone that we can trust, you got to have somebody you can trust, because if you don't, what about the times you don't even really trust yourself, you know?
You definitely
need that support system.
Wow, that's banging. Listen, if you're listening in, 323-693-3043, you are on the lines with us. We feel your love and even see you tuning in, but you got to press 1 if you have any type of questions or comments for myself or Daishan. Now would be the time. You know what? Something else I really wanted to talk to you about, Daishan, is there is a movement that you created, which I had not heard of until I came in contact with you, called the Christian Erotica Movement. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, Erica, that is something I'm very passionate about. Of course, it created controversy because
you know, people were saying Christian and erotica cannot coincide in the same sentence. It basically, they felt it was oxymoronic. But I was married for 17 years, and a large number of those years, I had no balance. Everything was Jesus, 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 church, 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 ministry, ministry, ministry. And so, you know, once my marriage fell apart, I began to look back over those 17 years and say, where did I go wrong? What did I do? And a large part of what I will say or what I will accept as my responsibility is that I did not do enough of the eros, which is where we get the word erotica from. The mm-hmm. world took that and they made it into a term that we associate with, you know, pornography and things of that nature with, they converted it based. But the Greek word from that word is eros. And so I did not have enough eros in my marriage because, you know, I was just so heavenly minded. And so I started the journey with Christian Erotica to promote to married couples to have a great sex life, you know, to allow that intimacy that a husband and a wife is supposed to share to be very dominant. The third leading cause of divorce among Christians is sexual problems. And right now we lead all of the religions in divorce. And so sex has generally been a taboo topic in the church. And so I just wanted to help people to not go down the path that I went down. And so that's how the movement got started. I never intended for it to be as big as it did. I just wanted to help the few people that would listen to me, and then it ended up going viral. And but I'm glad that it did because it started a conversation, especially in the African-American church, because, that again, that's something that we don't talk about. Marriages are falling apart. Someone was telling me a couple of weeks ago that 76% of African-American pastors are not married. And That's a serious issue, and but that is the movement in general, just promoting great sex and intimacy in our kingdom couples because we need it to survive.
Wow, that's an interesting stat in terms of pastors that are not married. Do you happen to know by any chance, and I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm just wondering out of curiosity, is that because they too have also experienced divorce or having been widowed or just never married? I wonder what the breakdown even is for that. I would just wonder.
Yeah, I don't know the specific breakdown. I'm pretty sure that encompasses all single pastors, whether or not they're widowed, mm-hmm. whether or not, you know, they've never been married or divorced. I'm pretty sure those would be the top three. But in which order they fall, I don't know as of right now. But I think it's alarming simply because we really need to demonstrate in today's church the strongness of having, you know, healthy marriages in our view and as an example, because I believe God created marriages for a reason. I think we should do kingdom work together. And so sometimes, you know, being single looks to be more appealing or it's more comfortable because you don't have to sacrifice, you don't have to make concessions, you don't have to, you don't have to be dealing with anybody else, you know. So, but I really think that it was really intended for us to be married. I just, that's what my personal belief is. And so that's a very high number of pastors in the African-American community. And so however it goes, we need to work on trying to bring that number down. And my goal right now with the Christian Erotica is what it was when I started it, and that is to lower the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. Sexual problems should not be the third leading cause of divorce among Christians. It just shouldn't be, especially if you have people willing to talk about it and say, here is where I messed up. This is why I got divorced. You know, I was too busy praying when I should have been having sex with my husband. Like, that's basically, you know, what it boils down to, because that was my problem. I did not know how to take off the first lady hat. You know, I was bringing the oil into the room, but I should have been laying hands on my husband, you know.
Come on here, Dr. Ann. Come on here, Dr. Ann, and preach this thing. Walk this thing, ma'am.
I'm getting warmed up, so you better tell your audience, you know, you got somebody on here that keeps it real, but that's what it boils down to. I should have been more concerned with that because I was so consumed with the man of God and not the man. And
come on here, Dr. Ann.
I need to mute out my background. I'm just so hush.
I open up that door. I always say I open up the door for the enemy to walk in, and she did. She did. She walked right into it. And so
was she wearing Prada, Dashan? Was she wearing Prada when she walked in? Was the devil wearing Prada, Dashan?
She was wearing Prada. And look, don't get me wrong, because I did an interview one time with NPR News, and they were asking me if that statement gave him license to go out and do what he did, and absolutely not. I'm just being woman enough to admit to my responsibility in the breakdown of the marriage, and that was my responsibility. And I missed it. I did not get that right. I did not get that right. But you best believe, with this next marriage,
say it, ma'am.
Son is going to be extremely happy and fulfilled. Amen. Amen.
Is there one? Is there one? If you're listening, 323-693-3043. We are talking. And this is why I put a disclaimer at the top of the show. See, y'all heard all that gospel. You didn't know where we were headed with that, but this is real talk right here, Reality Radio on Grind Hard Radio. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspiration with E. I'm Erica, Erica Arthur, your host. We're live with Dashan Washington, founder of Hold On, suicide, faith-based suicide prevention. She is a person who is having difficult dialogue in difficult times, but it's necessary. Something else I really wanted you to talk about, Dashan, which I think is important, is that type of pressure that we put on ourselves that drives us into the arms of people who will validate us. Where is that stemming from? That everyone, whether you're a person of faith or not, is in such dire need of validation, which may open up a door for extracurricular activities in a marriage.
Absolutely. I think a large portion of it now is social media, believe it or not. Social media can be a blessing and it can be a curse if you don't know who you are. We are so consumed with what other people have that we forgot to craft our own happiness. I believe that you have to craft your own happiness. And that happiness should not be, or that validation should not be based upon what you see Sister Sue or Brother Joe, what they have. You know, whether or not it's their marriage, their career, their status, you know, or their material possessions. It should solely be on what makes you happy. And so the pressure comes, honestly, Erica, because we go and get it. We drive up to the window and we order pressure when we start looking at other people's lives and comparing their lives to ours and where we should be and what we should have. You know, my mother is so encouraging because she is one of the few people who I know will not be deterred from what she wants. She'll tell you quickly, my dream house is not a mansion. My dream house is a ranch, because I don't want to be climbing steps when I'm older. You know, there are a few things that she wants that somebody else would say, that's all you want, but to her, that's her dream. But she never lets anybody, you know, deter her from what that is. And so I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves when we are looking on, you know, social media. We're starving for likes. We're starving for comments. We're starving for shares and reposts because we have somehow made ourselves believe that that is what makes us, you know, valuable, you know. And so I think that if we don't get a handle on who we are, discover who we are, and be okay with our progress and our process, then we're going to continue to have issues with that particular area.
I think that's very, very important. You know, Dashan, when I was, because I've actually, you know, paid attention not only to what you write and what you post. Inbox Chronicles are my favorite, I must tell you. For those of you who do not follow Dashan on social media, all I'm going to say is, I thought I was fearless until I met Dashan. Okay, do not come for her unless you are ready. Unless you are ready to hear it. Inbox Chronicles, for those of you that don't know, that is when Dashan has someone who comes under the guise of spirituality or churchdom and sideways tries to, you know, be negative with her, but then kind of pat her on the back at the same time. Diane, what is that about?
You know, it's amazing to me because people, very few people, if anybody, have the nerve to come at me straightforward. They, as you just said, they come under the guise of they're trying to teach me something or impart something into me or give me constructive criticism, or they're trying to let their opinion be known in a slick way. But, you know, I spent so many years, my younger years, Erica, conforming to people's opinions. That unnecessary pressure I bought into because I felt that's what I was supposed to do in my title as a first lady, then later as a co-pastor of a church. I felt that was my responsibility to listen to people and conform and be all what people wanted me to be. And then one day I messed around and found my freedom, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to allow anybody to tell me what to do. And sometimes, you know, I can take that to the extreme because I was boxed in for so long. And so I started sharing it because I wanted people to know the kinds of ignorant things that so-called church people say. And I also, at the same time, wanted to people who did not know it was okay to use their voice to say, hey, listen, I love God, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and as we said in the Baptist church, I'm Holy Ghost filled. But, you know, I wanted people to know it's okay. You can use your voice and you can still love Jesus, but I will tell you this, I will clap back. You come for me and I just sing for you, I will clap back. There are times when I ask for people's opinions. But if I don't ask you for your opinion, if your advice is unsolicited, then be prepared to get whatever comes to you because, you know, my DM and my inbox is not your it's not your place to journal your thoughts and your opinions, you know. And so I will quickly dismiss somebody in a minute. I will definitely evict them out of my inbox. And I just wanted people to, you know, that it's okay. It's okay to, you know, have a voice and stand up for yourself and let people know, hey, I am not the one to play with, because I used to be that Christian that would go home and cry and be so upset and stressed out, heart beating fast, and I'm depressed by what said, or I'm worried, or should I not have done this? I mean, just literally worried to the point of just anxiety. And now I'm more like Peter. I'll cut your ear off and pray and ask God to forgive me later, you know.
Oh, or we can just cut you. Just kidding, children. Glory to God. We actually have a caller on the line. We actually, Brooklyn in the house represent. pardon me. We actually have a call on the line, 209 area code. Your last four digits are 6265. You're live right here with us on Inspiration with Thee on Grind Heart Radio. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my phone call. I've listened for a couple times, and I really like your show. I want to tell you, you do such a great job. You do an amazing job, and I think you just keep doing what you're doing. I'm just a 28-year-old white guy, but I love listening to everything you have to say. I think it doesn't matter.
Wow.
It crosses gender. It crosses ethnicities, and I just think you're just doing fantastic. And I just wanted to call in to tell you that. That's it. I just want to tell you that it means a lot to me.
Oh my goodness, you don't mess around and made my day. What's your name?
My name's Tommy.
Tommy, I'm Erica. Very nice to meet you. I just want you to know that the fact that you, yes sir, the fact that you took the time to press one just to let me know that has my heart full and my tear ducts full, but in a good way.
good. And I just want
you,
just keep doing what you're doing. I love listening to you guys. I think you're fantastic. That's all I had to say. I felt moved to just press the number and just talk to you and just tell you exactly that, because I don't know if you get it enough, and I think you guys deserve it. All you guys. You guys are fantastic.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much for taking the time to call in. God bless you, man. Be good. Be safe.
God bless you. God bless you all.
Peace. Thank you so much. We have another call on the line. Area code is 707. Last four digits is 6612. You're live with us right here on Inspiration with E. Go ahead.
Hello. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can. Welcome to Inspiration with D.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my phone call. Yeah, I wanted to tell you my name is Henry, and I'm 63 years old. Excuse me, apologies. And it's funny that gentleman actually called in and had those great things to say about you, because to be quite honest, I share in his thoughts. So I wanted to say the same thing, and God bless you all.
Wow, you have just, you don't even know. In this day and age with all of the negativity, that's the one thing I wanted to make sure Inspiration with E was a place where everybody can just be themselves and not worry about the etcetera.com, if you know what I mean. I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to call in. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. God yes. Bless.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and God bless you as well. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I'm so glad that everybody is reaching out to us. You know, the only thing I can say is you're taking the time to listen is awesome, but you're taking the time to listen and let me know is like super awesome. Times two divided by one, carry the three to the 10th power. Like, you just have no idea how overwhelmed I am. Thank you so much. We have another call on the line. 732 is your area code. Last four digits, 2336. Hello, I'm Erica, and welcome to Inspiration with E. Go ahead.
Hello, E. This is Joseph. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you? Welcome, welcome.
I'm doing well. I've really enjoyed myself listening to everything you were doing, as well as your guest. Very informative of everything they spoke about. I was highly encouraged. And personally, I get to tell you that thank you for encouraging me in my poetry. That meant a lot to me. And also the last guest, I can't remember her name, but she was, I find that I've gone through some of the same things where individuals did not understand that sexuality is a part of who we are as believers. And I've been attacked because I've said or posted certain things. But I tell people, I said, well, if you're not in a relationship, how can you attack something because you feel a specific type of way? But what about those that hunger for a solid, intimate relationship with their husband and their wife? And those things are just as important as our relationship with God. And most people don't want to take that time to see that. But overall, I was taking a walk with my daughter, and we're having a wonderful time. She's ignoring me while I'm on the phone right now, but it's still a good thing. And I am excited about what God is doing in your life, as well as your guests that were on the line. I am highly encouraged once again, and thank you so much for allowing this platform to be available, not only for yourself, but as well as for your guests and those that have something to say to encourage someone else, because in this time, we need to know what God has made available to us as men and women, and what God has made available to us for our lives so that we can have a more productive life. And having a productive life is one of the most important things that God wants us all to have, whether we know God or not. He wants us all to have a productive life. And and this is the time where God is saying, I'm going to fight for you. Regardless of what you're going through, I'm going to fight for you. And so I just want to encourage you to keep going. And know that God is with you, and I'm excited about. Yes, baby. Okay. So now I have to give my baby a back ride.
Okay. Well.
And so, but thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. And I appreciate everything.
I appreciate you. Make sure you tag me on social media. Let me know, you know, it was you, and I'll show you some love. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate you. God bless you. The support is overwhelming, and I'm super, super grateful. Dyshan, are you still with me, baby girl?
Thank you.
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Just so you know, you're welcome, Joseph. God bless you, sweetheart. We have one other call on the line. This will be our last caller because our time is wrapping up. 619 is your area code. Last four digits, 6612. You're live with me right here. I'm Erica, and you're listening to Inspiration with E on Grind Hard Radio. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to I was listening, especially to the last gentleman that was on the phone. I wanted to go ahead and say how absolutely wonderful it was to hear him with his daughter and hear you ladies speak about Jesus Christ and push the message. So I want to say thank you so much and keep doing what you're doing because you guys are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to call, and I'm so, so grateful. I pray that you are blessed and that you feel comfortable enough coming through again. I'd love to have you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Callers, we certainly appreciate you jumping in there and pressing one, letting us know that you are alive and well on this line. I am grateful to hear from the brothers tonight. Daishan, you hear this? Kit, you hear this? The message is so important. Yes, it's important. And no one has time for foolishness. No one's in the mood for negativity. You know, I don't feel like watching TV with all that foolishness. And quite honestly, sometimes we just want to chill. So, Daishan, thank you for chilling with me today. You are the type of person that we can, like, you and Kit both, we can break your interviews up into, like, a series, like a six-season series, because there's so much life and depth into what you offer. Before we go, I definitely want you to shout out your new book. For those of you that do not know, Daishan is also an author. Yes, I'm an author. She's an author. And Daishan, the name of your latest book, let's just say that again, that Fearless. You got me beat, baby. You got me beat with the name of your latest book. Let me just make sure I get it right. Is it Single, Saved, and Still Horny? Is that the name of the book, baby?
That's the name of the book.
Come on, real quick. You got a minute. Go ahead. Tell people about it and how they can get it.
Okay, well, the book is simply, you know, of course people are up in an uproar because the word horny is on the book, but I just wanted to keep it real because as a single Christian, you know, as a married Christian, no matter, at some point you are sexually aroused, and that's all that the word horny means. It's just another word, and it is in the dictionary, I'm sorry. And basically, you know, I tell my testimony of how when I got a divorce, you know, my hormones didn't get the email or the memo or the text or the DM that I was divorced. And so they didn't know, my hormones didn't know to turn off, you know. And so I was left confused with what to do with the sexual feelings that I had. And so I did what I normally did, and that was go have sex. But it just wasn't with my husband because I was divorced. And so because I was so broken and looking for love in all of the wrong places, I gave my body to men who did not deserve it. And it wasn't until I recognized and realized what I was doing wrong and how I could fix it that I began to make changes, you know, in the way that I thought, in the way that I conducted myself so that I could live a better life. You know, and so that's what I talk about in the book. I'm extremely transparent. I even tell people how many people I've had sex with in my book because I just wanted people to know that they look at me now and they see this woman who's doing so many great things, but I have a story, I have a testimony, and I haven't always made the right decisions. And so being that I am a very transparent person because I believe transparency precedes deliverance, I tell it all in this book, and I tell people how to different principles and different ways to control their sexual urges until they are married and living in a covenant lifestyle with their spouse. And so that's what the book is about. It can be found on my website, DaishanWashington.com. The ebook is only $7. And I'm enjoying reading the messages from people who have read it, you know, just saying, hey, thank you for being so open and honest. And I'm, you know, my goal was to change the way people approached the subject of sex and to see it for what it really is. You know, sexual urges is just that. It's an urge. An urge is temporary, but sometimes we make decisions that lead to lifetime repercussions because of an urge. And I want people to know how to combat that so that we can make better decisions. And you know, the subtitle of the book is Living Holy in a New Millennium, because I'm not oblivious to the fact that we have social media, we have pornography opportunities, you know, on our devices, and it's so many places we can see sex and be influenced by sex, you know, and it can be difficult, you know, to try and live a certain lifestyle. So I talk about that in the book, and just hopefully that, you know, people will stop making lifelong decisions on temporary urges, you know, and save themselves. That's the point. Mm.
Lifelong decisions on based on temporary urges.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead, baby.
Oh, I was just saying, I had a daughter out of wedlock, you know, and that was a urge I acted on in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love my daughter, if I could rewind the hands of time, you know, I definitely would not have been in that bed that night for those 10 minutes. I would have
come on
to do something.
Ten, nine, eight.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you got to kick the couch talking and go, one, two. All right, we behave. Okay, that's it. What can I say? Thank you. You and Kit have made this an amazing journey. If you want to stay locked and loaded with me while I say my thank yous, you're more than welcome to do so. Special shout out to those of you who took the time to call in. Special shout out to those of you who helped to push this thing. I would be remiss if I did not mention Jit Chronicles, who is the producer and CEO of Grindheart Radio. He's the voice that you hear popping in every now and then. Jit, much love, respect, and thank you. To my special guest co-host in his absence, please know it is no reflection on the caliber of a giant of a man that Roger Wise, W-Y-Z-E, Smith is. He is the author of Laundromats and Lounges. You must check him out on Instagram as well. Show him love any old kind of way that you can. We will definitely try to carve out a minute or two to speak with him. The season is already booked, and it is action-packed. But there's no way I can't let that brother hit this mic at least one time, at least one time. So much love and salute to him, to the Instagram poetry community that is supporting me, to the bloggers who are following me, and AuthenticitySpeaks.com. For those of you who do not know, I write love poetry. It's about PG-13. It depends on how I'm feeling. It may be R, but it would be tastefully done. That's Authenticity Speaks on Instagram. Authenticity is spelled a little bit differently. Instead of ending in a Y, it ends in two E's. So that's AuthenticitySpeaks.com. Authenticity Speaks on Instagram. Authenticity on Twitter. Now, there are some people who are really interested in numbers. So if this was a blessing to you, if you enjoyed it, please rate, comment on iTunes, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Be sure to like on Facebook, leave a comment, give me some feedback. I'd love to hear from you. That is Inspiration with E on Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter it's EA Inspiration. E is an echo, A is an alpha. Daishan, thank you so much for being me, being with me here tonight, man. You're awesome.
Thank you for having me, and I think you're equally as awesome, Erica.
I appreciate you. We're going to get ready to head on out tonight, but you know there's going to be a song that plays us out. This is one of my favorites in the whole wide world. It's Olita Adams, I Just Had to Hear Your Voice. Thank you for tuning in to the very first episode of Inspiration with E. Peace.
he didn't do much good. Hung up the phone.